Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, in the middle of a terrifying situation, a stranger stepped in to help. He never spoke. He never stayed, and later no one could explain how he had been there at all.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, that indeed it is. Welcome to the program. And 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online if you want to share your real ghost stories with us. Tony, Todd, and Carol are with you today on the program. And how is everyone doing?
Pretty good. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm doing super keen.
Getting everything ready for your wedding, Tony?
Oh, yes, I am. I think we're pretty well set. We got the graveyard booked.
Good.
What is the graveyard?
A white flowy dress.
So yeah, we're going to do it.
Bands on her when she walks up.
Yeah, our gift is a mausoleum to each other. And we're gonna get married at the foot of the mausoleum, and then eventually we'll be resting there for all eternity. And we'll be under glass, and you'll be able to view us. It'll be really exciting. And we've hooked up with the folks at Walt Disney, people who made the animatronics back in the 80s, not the newer ones that are much more sophisticated, but the 80s folks. We found them at the home of Gerber and Mitchell.
Cheaper.
They're older folks. They're in their 90s now, but these guys, they said they knew that they could certainly rig something up. So we have the skeleton cast for me, where I will be able to like speak, and they'll just put it into me, and I'm convinced it's going to look nothing short of amazing. It'll be just like you're going into spaceship Earth when you go into my crypt, and I'll be able to tell you all different things. It'll run on AI, and you'll be able to have a conversation with me back and forth. Hopefully, like the skin doesn't get
that's
too crackly.
That's awesome.
I imagine after a while, you're gonna have some cracking here, so we'll have to do some work.
It'll be a little bit like House on the Rock at some point, though. It'll be like, this was really cool at one point, but now it's a little creepy because it doesn't quite work, maybe some of your fingers fall off or whatever, but you're still doing the actions and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be
great.
Little
orchestra playing in the background. Yeah, there's this merry-go-round. Just mannequins on the ceiling. Yeah.
I remember going to House on the Rock.
I went there. When did you really go there?
Oh, probably 20, 25 years ago.
Was it when you knew me?
No, it was before I knew you.
Okay.
I remember because my brother was living in Milwaukee.
Okay.
And my mom was like, I always wanted to see the House on the Rock. And so we went and she loved it.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
It was like the best vacation of her life. Getting to see the House on the Rock. I just remember thinking it was very odd. Kind of cool to see once.
It's one of those places where if you grew up in Wisconsin, you inevitably go there like on a class trip of some sort, usually at a fairly young age, if your parents haven't already taken you there.
Right.
And so you experience it. I remember experiencing probably, kindergarten-ish, preschool age. And then not seeing it again for many years, But you start looking back, you know, and it seems like an eternity, you know, when you're, you know, 10, like, you know, five was forever ago. But you're like kind of examining some of those memories and you're like, the hell was that? Right. You know, because it's such an obscure, it's almost like a fever dream come to life. Because it is the most obscure, crazy collections that this man put together. And most of them are not real. They're not what they showed themselves to be. Like, there's crowns in here of like royalty. There's all these artifacts from different ships and this and that. And it's all bullshit. It's not real. Like, this guy, it was a ruse. I mean, there may be some things in there that are somewhat legit, but there are certainly collections, and the collections are just quite amazing to see what they have. But it is a fucking nightmare.
I also think, like, if you go when you're too young, I remember going and leaving it in amazement, but also scared.
Yeah. Yeah,
like literally, like having nightmares about it and stuff like that. And then I went probably another 20 years ago. I went again and went with somebody and was like, oh, was that in such rough shape when I was here the last time? Maybe I didn't know. Well, that seems to be falling apart. That doesn't work the same anymore. You know, that kind of thing. But it's very cool. But like you said, Carol, it's very odd.
Very, very odd.
Yeah. Like, you turn a corner and you're like in an old downtown in the middle of the night and you're walking a street. I found that to be one of the coolest things. I mean, I think up until that point in my life, it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Was House on the Rock. I mean, I would play House on the Rock at home, like pretend like I would be like, okay, I'm going to make a go in the basement and just like, and I would light up my, you know, those plastic ghosts that, you know, if you put the hot light bulb in, eventually they'd melt.
Right.
I would have some of those. I'd get it like a garage sale for a quarter. So I had a ton of those. I'm like, holy shit, I wish I would have saved those fuckers. But back then, you had for like a dime. And I would have those all lit up and I'd make it like a path. And I'd pretend, you know, I just thought it was such a cool place. But it was spooky. It was haunting.
And it has doesn't it have a carousel?
Yeah. The largest indoor carousel, I think.
Correct. Yeah.
And there's something about a carousel indoors too that seems weird.
And you can't ride it. It's all stuff. Then and it's a big giant building that it's in, and there's mannequins that are angels
on the ceiling. Right.
Hundreds of them.
I remember like pieces of the mannequins were gone. Like heads had fallen off or hands had fallen off. And it's like, do you not like, first of all, why are they there? Second of all, don't you like fix that before the next group comes through?
I don't know, was it always that rickety? I remember it being pretty rickety in the 80s because a lot of the stuff just was older. I'm sure, you know, then we add on another 30 years. It's, you know, I think, I mean, time just made it that much more. But I mean, these are like, you know, 19, you know, what is it? 40s, 50s mannequins that are, you know, I don't know. It's such a weird place. Look up a YouTube video if you want to see more about it. But it is, it's literally like Dr. Seuss in some places. There's one of the instruments in that room.
I was just going to say,
around. And it's just, it's the most, it's, there's nothing like it.
The calliope, there's a calliope and it plays music and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there are some, there's some, not mannequins, but animatronic people on it that their eyes move back and forth as they're playing. Right. And I don't know if they're Chinese or Japanese. I can't remember from my childhood, but it has that feel to it. And it's like, I had nightmares about those things growing up.
Yeah.
Well, and I just looked up if it was haunted. It says it's not haunted, but somebody posted on Reddit, feels a little haunted. Definitely not recommended if you are allergic to dust.
I could see that too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And it goes on. It's really,
really, really creepy. I just remember that. It was weird because my mom was loving it. She, you know, looked at it as a great museum. And I'm like, it's creepy. It's really creepy. But she wanted to see that carousel. That's what she wanted to see.
I think that's at the end, isn't it? Like, I think that's very close to the end of it.
But I don't remember.
Like, it takes a lot because you get there and it's like, you think it's just this house. It's not. And then it goes into these other buildings, but you don't, it's almost like a haunted house. It just kind of keeps going.
Yeah.
And it just goes. It takes hours to get through the damn thing. And you're walking all indoors. It's kind of amazing. I'd love to see the overhead like map of how this is mazed out, because they take advantage of every square foot, I think, in that thing. And it's on a cliff in bluffs in the Dells of Wisconsin.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's near Wisconsin Dells would be the closest if anybody goes there for water parks. It's like only like a half hour out. It's worth checking out if you want to terrorize your family.
Take your mother. She'll love it.
Take your mother. Take the little ones. Say, we're coming to take you away. We're coming to take you away. And then, yep. It's the stuff nightmares are made of. Builds character. All right, let's go to a ghost story. 855-853-4802. Hi.
This is Janet Johnson. I'm calling from Chesney, South Carolina. My story is about a lady that I saved in a fire. I don't really know where to begin, besides the fact that at the point in time, this was in 2005, I was very sick with an eating disorder, and I was only about 85 pounds. And so we had stopped at a store, and right beside this store, there was a plant nursery that I had bought plants from over the years. And it was an elderly lady that ran it and owned it. And so as me and my friend stopped at the store, I could see the lady standing there beside a mulch pile, and she was literally on fire, her hair, her body, clothes, everything. So I ran, and like I said, I was very sick. The only thing I can figure is God gave me the strength to run. I ran, and I tried to talk to her to get her to roll down on the ground, but she was just in a state of hysteria. So anyway, I wrapped my arms around her, and the high that there was a tree that had limbs hanging over, and the limbs and leaves were on fire, and they were dripping, like literally dripping, falling down on my arms and her. And so I led her back into her plant nursery, and there was nobody there but her. And she kept telling me, please call my husband, call my husband. I got the phone. I didn't know where it was. She just, you know, told me. And so she told me the number. I dialed it, got him on the phone, and he was on his way up there. Well, in the meantime, I'm, you know, trying to talk to her, and I'm looking for, you know, wet towels, water, hose pipe, anything to try to cool her off, because she had really, really bad, bad burns, third-degree burns, as a matter of fact. I turned around to look. There was a young man, and he never said a word. He was dressed in all dark blue navy pants and a dark blue navy shirt. And he had dark hair, and he was from a different ethnic background, you know, because he had darker skin. But he never spoke a word, like I said. And so I looked at him thinking he worked there, because I didn't know. And I was just like, you know, get me a hose pipe, get me some water, 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 towels, water. And so he gives me several towels, and there was a big plant bucket, and it was full of water. So I just kept soaking the towels in them, and I was just wrapping them around Miss So's body. So after we had done that, by the time we had finished, her husband got there, and we were all talking. So long story short, we were going out of the gate. Okay, well, as we got out to the gate, my cousin was a paramedic, so he was, you know, arriving in the ambulance. And so as we got out, I got in the ambulance, you know, with my cousin, And we were suctioning her lungs out, and she was just in agony. And we were waiting on the helicopter to come and transport her to Augusta Burn Center in Georgia. I was asking her if I could pray with her, you know, in the ambulance. And she said, oh, God, please. Oh, God, please. Yes, yes. And so as my cousin Robert and the other EMT was working on her, and they gave her a good shot of morphine, and then she passed out, thank the Lord, because I couldn't imagine that kind of agony. So after Regional One landed and flew her out, her son was leaving in his truck to go to the hospital because they were going to stabilize her at our local hospital here first. He and I had never met. And he was just like, thank you so much. And I said, where did the guy go that was with me that helped me? And I said, did he work here? Or, you know, I said, must have been a worker. And her husband, Joey, says, no, hon. He says, we don't have anybody that works for us. This is family ran. He said, it's all family, my sister, myself, my dad, my mom. And, you know, he is probably about my age. So I was just looking really strange, like, okay, well, I said, well, maybe he went out the back gate. Is there a back gate? And he said, no, there's only one way in and one way out. And so I was looking like, oh, my gosh, did God just send an angel to help me? Because I was really scared, too, because nobody else was stopping. Everybody stopped. They were just looking and gawking and gazing, and I'm like, what is wrong with you people? And I guess because me being a firefighter, it was my instinct. So anyway, long story short, she died in the burn center 5.5 weeks later. But I met two wonderful friends out of this tragedy, which is her son, Joey, and his wife, Karen. And turns out we have a lot in common. We have kept in touch over the years. They live in my community, basically. But I just wanted to share this with you all because I love the show. I do believe in angels, and you never know what shape, form that they're going to come in. And I just do believe that God sent me an angel that day, you know, to try to help me and calm me down because just the way things worked out. But anyway, I'll call back with some more. God bless you guys and have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Intense.
That's a fascinating story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Super intense.
Thoughts?
I don't, if the people who own it, her husband, her son, if they don't know who that person was, and he just disappeared, he never said anything to her, That's really interesting. You know, maybe it was somebody who saw what was going on and ran to help. And then just disappeared afterwards. But that's not the feeling she has from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I've heard stories like that before where there's this mysterious person who stops to help. And where did they go?
Mm-hmm.
And when no one else was helping. And at the end when she says, I don't know if he was there to help me and help calm me down.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the woman needed, was someone to take charge and calmly and help her during this time. Golly, that got me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very powerful story. You could hear it in her voice through that. And that was, not every story has that. So thank you for sharing that with us. It was really good. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to share your real ghost stories with us, we have another phone call, don't we?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out which one it is.
It's the one, I think, up, down, down, left, right, left, right, BA, select, start.
Let me look here. Make sure. Make some small talk there, guys.
Yeah, you know. Cliffy, like there's a.
Okay, I got it. Quit
Hi.
With small talk.
Let's hear your ghost story. I'm
this
listening.
Is Maria.
I'll start it again.
Hi.
After all that.
Hi. I'm listening.
This is Maria, all the way from West Palm Beach, Florida.
Anyway, pretty much since I was born, I was born in October 31st. So I think that you guys are going to love that. It's the perfect birthday as far as I'm concerned. Since I was a kid, I've been always, always strange things happen to me, which is very common to all of your, most of your callers anyway. It's like, it's pretty much like I would call it a gift almost of, it's major empathic. I even took a test for an empath scale, and I'm extremely empathic. Very, if I hear somebody crying, it's really difficult for me not to feel intense emotion. I mean, intense. Besides that, I have several stories. One of them including a Ouija board unfortunate event, but that one I leave for another time. Now I just want to tell you one that was kind of, it was a good thing for me because it was kind of a closure. My grandfather died about a year and a half ago. And I was, you know, I was his most beloved grandchild. We actually traveled the world together, just the two of us. We walked the Wall of China, spent about a month in Asia just traveling. And it's an amazing thing to do. So we were really, really close. He paid for my education in the United States. Was the most amazing grandpa ever. So when he died, I was able to talk to him on the phone. They called me and he said he's really close to dying. So he was absolutely pretty much knocked out until they put the phone in his ear. And when he heard my voice, he kind of shook up and, you know, lifted, opened his eyes, like almost like a breath of air. You know, like when you're soaking under the pool and you come out for air, well, kind of like that. And I was able to talk to him and said to be calm. But the thing was, I was feeling really bad after he passed. And, you know, I'm in the United States there in Ecuador, so I could not. This was so fast, I couldn't go to see him or anything. So, or probably would have been better not to go anyway, because I don't know that I could have dealt with it. Anyway, one day I was getting ready to go to work. This is early morning. I kind of, in my mind, said, you know, give me a sign that you are around here. This is right after he died. We're talking 2 days or so. So I said, give me a sign that you can see me, that you can hear me. And right away, I was going into the kitchen, into the fridge, you know, towards the fridge. And on the fridge, I had some papers, you know, like the classic magnet with the paper, you know. So there was no windows open in the house whatsoever. As soon as I get close to the refrigerator, something, I literally felt somebody rush, you know, run by my side. You know, that unmistakable feeling of somebody, and you feel that wind. I mean, it's not just feeling. This is something, you know, more, you know, like I imagined it. This happened. I felt the rushing, something rushed towards me through my left, by my left side, like touching elbows or so, or, you know, rubbing elbows or arms as they pass. And you can feel that air, and it, you know, it almost kind of, you know, feel the breeze. Well, just like that, when I looked at paper on the fridge, made like a flapping, I mean, a very almost supernatural noise. It was too strong for just your average paper flopping, you know, and it made a really loud noise, and whoosh, I felt that, and it was immediately after I had asked for that sign. So what is really cool about this story is that I do believe, at least for people who think that, you know, you're done and that's it, I don't think so. I think they are part of our world in a different way. So that was really, it was his last gift for me, for allowing me to transition from his not being physically there to his being watching me all the time. Talk to you guys later, and thank you for a wonderful show. Bye-bye.
Thank you for sharing that story. Thoughts on that?
I love that her grandfather and her traveled the world together. That
yeah,
is really sweet.
That's cool.
I have a friend who does that with his grandma. They have gone, I think they've gone to all seven continents together.
Wow.
God,
yeah,
dang.
It's amazing. And, you know, that's just so touching. And I think that's interesting because she asked for the sign and then immediately feels like this wind past her. And to the point, like, the things on the refrigerator are reacting to it. So it wasn't just her imagination. She visually saw something moving.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to have been her grandfather.
I like that she said a couple of words. She said, it's nice to know they're still here. It's nice to know they're still part of our world, just in a different way. Mm-hmm. I really like that because it's not like, oh, it was a ghost or it was a spirit. They're still with us, just not the way we're used to them being with us. I like that whole thought process.
Yeah, and I
100% believe that.
Yeah.
I've always felt that with my dad, that he's still around.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not, I don't know where, but it's just, I don't know. There's just been times over the years that I've felt him very strongly.
Pennies have been a thing for you and your dad.
Yeah,
I know that. A couple of weeks ago, I was visited my uncle, and his dad, my grandpa, passed several years ago. But I was pretty close with him. He was like the only grandparent I really had that was like kind of there and with it. And we had a really good relationship. And you know, a lot of people, when they see cardinals, they think of their, you know, deceased loved one. But I always thought of that with him. He did love birds. I have like this bird book that I got him for Christmas one year sitting over there. I got it after he passed. And, when I went to go visit my uncle, first thing, it got in his house, and they're really kind of a nice backdrop, a bunch of trees out to a big window. And all of a sudden, the first thing that happens, cardinal, like right there, you know, out the window on a branch. And I was like, hi, Grandpa, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, whether that's them or not, or just the universe giving us a sign, I don't know. But I always find it interesting that the timing of some of those things.
Right.
And those were two really touching stories.
Yeah, they were. I can't make any obscene songs about
them. No, don't.
And the world heaves a collective sigh of relief about that.
Well, I tried, and I'm like, this feels weird.
We should tell everyone about the song that you wrote for the last episode.
We actually had to edit it out. Make it. Believe it or not, you're walking on air. The song was too not safe for this show, even. And
it was disgusting.
I didn't even like, it was a very tame command too. It was, all I did was I gave it like kind of the episode description. And then I said, but make the twist, the person is butchering people in their basement. And those are the ghosts that are coming to this haunted theater. That's
and
it.
Safe for
and make it not Wait. Safe for work. Yeah. And so that interpreted it as like, let's use every horribly offensive word ever in the English vernacular and multiple times over in different ways and forms.
You say some really disgusting things.
Yeah. I always felt dirty after it. You're like, and okay, shit.
We all listen to it and we're like, ooh.
Well, and the thing is,
I need to go take a walk and clear my brain.
And my thought was, like, I've given it commands before, like, make it, like, disturbing, make it this or that. And I thought, well, make it NSFW, like, it probably won't even make it that disturbing. Like, to me, like, that's just, it sounds like it's going to be, you know, a little bad. It doesn't, you know, not like, holy shit. But it went holy shit.
I mean, I consider myself somebody who probably goes down that road occasionally, especially if I have a few beers, I can get, you know, pretty raunchy.
Sure.
I was a little, embarrassed by the whole thing.
Cause yeah.
there were
words that I rarely ever use. And there's some I would never use.
Yeah.
Well, when we got done and it was like, oh, do with that? And I'm like, how do I even post it? Like, it needs a warning.
Yeah. I'm also wondering, like, where is it learning this shit? like the way it strung things together was like pretty genius, but it was also like, what the fuck?
So wrong.
Yeah.
And once you hear it, you can't unhear it.
No.
We'll never be the same.
Like, what could you make it worse? Like, I wonder. I don't know.
You got to keep it when we're all together sometime. It's like, hey, listen
to hear
this
the song.
You want to hear it?
Look, it generated two versions of it. I haven't heard the other one, but it's going to have the same lyrics, just musically mixed up a little different. But there you go. All right. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and you'll never hear that song episode, we're not even going to put it out there, then check out Apple Podcast or Patreon to get all that stuff. And just search Real Ghost Stories Online. You know that. All right. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.